Meatless burger company Beyond Meat is looking to cash in on the growing appetite for meat alternatives. The maker of plant-based meat products announced Monday it plans to raise up to $183 million in an initial public offering. It's looking to sell shares at between $19 and $21, according to a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. If priced at the high end of that range, Beyond Meat would debut on Wall Street with a $1.2 billion market value. It's currently backed by traditional meat giant Tyson Foods, as well as some high-profile names, including Microsoft founder Bill Gates and actor Leonardo DiCaprio.
The Social Security Trust Fund won't be depleted until 2035. That is 1 year later than previously forecast. At that time, the fund will only be able to pay out a portion of the benefits that seniors are supposed to receive. Still, the report said that 2020 will be the first year since 1982 that the cost of Social Security is expected to exceed the program's income, including total income interest. The report also projected that the Medicare Hospital Insurance Fund will be depleted in 2026. That covers Medicare Part A and pays for things like hospital stays and hospice.
Samsung will not deliver its highly anticipated foldable phone, the Galaxy Fold, this week as previously planned. The South Korean tech conglomerate Monday made its first public admission of problems with the costly device. Last week, U.S. tech reporters complained of screens which cracked just days after coming out of the box.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's April 23rd, 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell. We've got another business day underway here for you and lots going on around the world of business. We'll get to some of the numbers from the stock markets momentarily after a long weekend in some parts of the world for Easter. Back at it today, trading in Europe and parts of Asia that were closed yesterday. We'll get to the numbers again momentarily. On the broadcast today, we will talk about the 2019 retail lookbook. Kelly Stickle will be here from Remodista, the lookbook, talking about some retail trends that we're expecting for the year. We will have that in our first segment this morning, so stay tuned for that. A little bit later on, Grant Easterbrook will be here along with Ben Olson. Grant, you remember we had on recently the co-founder of Dream Forward. He'll be here with Ben, who is the founding partner of Faircourt Partners. We're going to be talking about management of your 401k, perhaps via 401k, via text and artificial intelligence. Of course, artificial intelligence is what Dream Forward is doing. And we'll see a mixing of those two moving forward, and that'll be at about 5:38 this morning. That'll be an interesting conversation, so stay tuned for that. Of course, we'll have the latest business news, traffic, weather, sports news, all of that coming up this hour. So first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the opening bell rings this morning on Wall Street after stocks closed mixed yesterday as corporations continued releasing their quarterly earnings. At the closing bell, the Dow was down about 48 points. This morning, some weakness in the futures market heading to the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures are off fractionally this morning. Everybody is back to work this morning in Europe after a long weekend for the Easter break in London. Markets up by a third. In Germany, up by, down by a quarter. In France, down by a quarter. In Asia, markets are generally mixed with the Nikkei ending the day up a quarter of a percent. Everything else is lower. The Shanghai off nearly a half a percent. And oil in the United States at $65.66 a barrel, up nearly 2.5%. Oil prices jumping significantly, the highest that they've been in 6 months or more. On our news watch this morning for business news, Senator Elizabeth Warren proposing a broad cancellation of student loan debt across the country. The Massachusetts Democrat candidate for president says her plan would wipe out student loan debt for 75% of those carrying loans. Once the debt has been cleared, Warren says the next step would be to make public college education tuition free. Warren says the entire plan could be fully funded with a 2% tax on families worth over $50 million in wealth. Some of the early calculations of the cost of this over the course of a decade or so, nearly $1 trillion or more. Tesla CEO Elon Musk says the high-performance electric car will have self-driving cars on the road by the end of this year and robo-taxi ready to go in 2020. Musk said yesterday the software for safe self-driving cars will be ready by the end of the year. Self-driving cars are at the heart of the so-called robo-taxi fleet that Musk envisions hitting the roads next year. He says the current and future Tesla owners using their cars for daily commutes and then making money from them by farming out the cars for self-driving robo-taxi for a few hours after they get home from work is more than just a vision. It is the future, at least as he sees it. And Target is recalling a line of wooden toys that were possibly causing a choking hazard. The voluntary recall includes nearly a 500,000 bullseye playground toys sold between October and November of last year. The toys, which include a caboose, Santa sleigh, a police car, and others, sold for $1 apiece or in an 8-pack. No injuries have been reported. More details are available at Target.com. Let's begin this morning with a look at retail. The 2019 Retail Lookbook is out. Kelly Stickle is here this morning, the CEO and founder of Remodista. And Kelly, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell, first of all.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always an exciting time when you're back because we get to have like a little bit of future vision. Also look back on the last year's retail lookbook. And I know this year's theme of the lookbook is tapestry. Tell us about it.
Sure. So tapestry is our theme. And you would think that is about weaving technology into retail. But what we really noticed probably a couple years ago was that the retail vertical was really going to teach the other verticals direct-to-consumer strategies. We learned early on the reason retail was able to take off so well is they had the most expenditory budget and the least amount of regulatory issues. So we believe retail has the strongest amount of acumen when it comes to teaching others.
The ideas of what is going to be a big, what are the trends this year, always interesting to see the predictions that the lookbook makes. And I know the focus of some of them this year are on things that we've been talking about in recent weeks and months, artificial intelligence, chatbots, more emphasis on customer service and engagement, the influencers that are out there selling a lot of the things that retailers are making these days. All of those are going to be top and front and center this year.
Yes, definitely. I think one of the big themes that we're looking at ahead of the market is who are the companies that are using artificial intelligence, machine learning that leads to robotics to replace human roles, and what are they dreaming beyond that so that we can start to educate our employees, you know, what are your future jobs? I know that about 60% of our current roles will be replaced with AI, and so we need to dream beyond that. I think that's one of the areas we're looking at, and we're even seeing robots coming into the mix and working with some companies that are actually building human-like robots. And so we're going to see that come into the market, real aggressive shifts in artificial intelligence.
And that's the concerning thing. I think if you're in retail and you're listening to this conversation, you probably already know this and you've already heard it before. What's the shift going to look like in terms of humans doing what after AI takes over?
Well, I think that's what we're trying to look at is companies that are using robots and robotics to pack and ship, to do some of the automative type roles that humans are doing. So it is to look to those companies to see what they're doing to create new opportunity for those employees. I don't think it has to be a scary thing. I just think we need to start looking at it and defining what those roles look like.
And give us a sense of the companies. I think probably everybody's going to think of Amazon when they think of some of this, but what are some of the companies doing this now, or at least in the forefront of this now?
Well, I think, as you said, the beginnings of artificial intelligence is looking at chatbots and gathering large data pattern sets to see, you know, behaviors that can create automation. I think that when we look at robotics, it's going to come in time, but I think there's some other things that are happening that are probably more important for a retailer to look at.
I know as we go down the list here, and I want to try to get to as much of this as we can today, looking through the report as I did this morning, finding a couple of cool things. I mentioned the influencers. The value and the number of influencers seemingly growing exponentially over just recent months. This is now the big way, especially for some small brands, to get their promotion out there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that you're seeing that authentic storytellers are starting to get the attention of brands because they attract a more loyal following, and it's around the love of a product. So I think that you're starting to see that celebrity, while they can yield a large following, these small authentic storytellers are becoming more and more powerful over time.
And dissimilar brands, too, partnering together. And I know some small brands sometimes having tough go of it getting their, you know, brand out there are also finding success, not only with influencers, but just social media in general.
Yeah, I would say one interesting thing that we're seeing is to partner with an unlikely brand. One example is Goo Goo Guru is a baby registry. And last year they partnered with Domino's Pizza. And you think, what is the connection? But, you know, new parents, not a lot of time to eat, probably a good combination. So starting to look at unlikely partnerships is becoming very successful, especially when you're starting to look at ideas like pop-up strategies and creating live customer engagement in a place that isn't a store.
And then one of the big ones, too, and we keep seeing this and reporting on it, it seems like every day, traditional retailers are still going to keep reducing the actual real estate, the brick and mortar, still going away. But those that remain are redoing their brand in a way that they can maybe keep that physical plant and still incorporate some of these other ideas.
Yeah, I think we see that retail is not failing. It's altering its form. And of course, many of the stores will need to close. When we're looking at companies like Nike, you see an incredible flagship store on Fifth Avenue in New York, and they're constantly changing that store. And that's one way they can show top line innovation. But I think when you look at a traditional retailer, they've got a whole line of chain of stores where you can't make those type of investments in every store. So we're really trying to see where the affordable technology is that can be innovative, that can really roll across all the stores in a more affordable way.
Kelly, I know there's so much here that we should link out to this book so people get a better feel for it. I've been trying to highlight a couple of things. I want you to pull a couple of things from this year's book, things that I haven't touched on, some big things that you expect.
Well, I think one of the things is we developed a tool to help our community figure out where to make their investments. We have a workshop called A Collective Think, and we're able to measure the innovation within a room, organization, or business while getting top-line information. And so you can imagine, as an executive trying to make an investment decision and not knowing where to go, I think last year we touched on this, your workforce is no longer all of your employees. It's quite a mixture of different types of employee and resources. And so I think there's a lot of skills within your group that you do not know exists. And for example, I create all our videos for the company, and you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't make that assumption seeing me as the CEO, but it's something I'm passionate about. So we've given companies a way to measure that innovation. And then when you find where the strength is in the organization, you're going to make better bets on where to put your money for investment.
And that's pretty important because until now, measuring innovation has been very, very difficult, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't even know that I found a tool that can specifically figure out how much you know or how much your team knows. Yeah, so I think right now we're maybe putting two fingers in the wind and saying, you know, where should we go? And if you knew that 75% of the room had a propensity to understand artificial intelligence over mobile commerce, that should probably be your first investment. You know, you're going to have less risk and a higher return.
Kelly, I know we haven't really touched on a lot of it, but I want to get to supply chain and manufacturing, because this has taken up a lot of air too recently. Blockchain is one of the catchphrases, is one of the words a lot of people are using, but also transparency. We've got two generations of shoppers, millennials and their counterparts that are coming up behind them, that transparency in the supply chain, very important.
Yeah, and they, you know, the millennials are caring about a whole lot of things when it comes to where our products are made. But I think it's also uncovering with sustainability the awareness that we are moving into more of a circular economy where we're reusing things and we're recycling, and that, you know, the younger buyer is looking for those companies who are taking their products and reusing them, or, you know, adding value and bringing them back into the market. So I think you're going to start to see, you know, while blockchain is obviously a great general ledger and a way to keep data shared and even with everyone, the idea of creating that circular economy is what you're going to start seeing more and more in conversation.
I know the Community Days event coming up at 1871. Let's talk a little bit about that, because you're going to be involved. June 24th?
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's the day before the Internet Retailer Conference here, and we're going to be doing that Collective Think workshop. We're also with about 40 leaders in Chicago. So if there's leaders listening to this that are executives in CPG or retail or finance, they're looking at innovative direct-to-consumer strategies, they're, you know, pioneer thinkers, we'd love to have them reach out to attend. But we're going to measure innovation within Chicago at 1871. And then we're also doing an iLab pitch where we're looking for women-owned or women-led businesses who are startups in the retail vertical. And we're having a contest, and one of the winners will be able to have a space in our New York event this fall at our Innovation Lab in New York. And so we're hoping to help some of those women get noticed for the businesses they're building.
Very cool. Again, the Community Days event at 1871, June 24th. Kelly, thank you for being with us this morning, as always.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it's a pleasure.
It. Kelly Stickel, the CEO and founder of Remodista. 2019 Retail Lookbook is out. And again, Community Days event at 1871, June 24th. We'll link out some information to both of those with a podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning at WGNRadio.com.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Our focus is turning now to management of retirement programs. We've had the conversation before about mixing AI into this and somehow getting a little bit more automated help in managing retirement, specifically 401k plans, that sort of thing. You may remember we had Grant Easterbrook on before, the co-founder of Dream Forward, who is sort of pioneering some of this, and he's back with us this morning. And also Ben Olson, a founding partner of Faircourt Partners, where this is actually going to be rolling out and becoming a real thing. Grant, Ben, first of all, let's say good morning to Grant on the phone. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning. Great to be here.
And Ben is here as well. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Yep. So everybody's in place. Grant, I want you to start first by explaining, if you will, again, for listeners who may not have been with our first conversation, about what Dream Forward is doing and some of the technology that you've been working with in terms of managing 401ks with artificial intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be back. Thanks for having us back here. So at a high level, what we do at Dream Forward is we have built the first artificial intelligence specifically for retirement plans and 401ks. And the whole idea is it sort of looks like live chat on the website or texting on your phone can just talk to you conversationally about whatever you don't understand about 401k. I don't make enough money. I've got what's a beneficiary? What's an emerging market? How fast can I get my money out? The whole idea is I can give you instant responses 24/7. Whatever's on your mind, and we're excited about our new partnership with Faircourt to roll this out to their 500 million of retirement plans.
And that's where we bring in Ben, Ben Olson. Ben, before we went on the other, we were talking about some of the structure of this I didn't realize just how many people were talking about and the challenges of managing all of that. As many as 20,000 people, at least with you. Talk to us a little about the rollout of this and how important it is to sort of get a handle on it.
Yeah, so we're incredibly excited about this new initiative. And one of the primary reasons for that is if you think about corporate retirement plans and what they're primarily meant to do, which is, you know, they pool together the resources of all of the individuals to provide scalable sort of services to them, whether it be really low-cost investments, high-quality services from the providers, or in this case, a fiduciary-level investment advice. Now, to be able to do that at scale when you have 15, 20,000 people and to be able to service a large subset like that, what we're really excited about here is the ability to use this technology and AI to be able to do that effectively.
What are the challenges? What are the, as you get ready to roll this out, the thing, some of the things you're hoping for out of this?
So one of the hardest things whenever you're doing something new, I think, is basically increasing the awareness of the employee base. So most people obviously will have never experienced this before. So trying to get them to engage with it to see what they like, what they don't like, and then seeing how it basically is utilized is going to be one of the most interesting aspects of it.
Grant, what would be some of the sample questions somebody would be able to text and ask?
Absolutely. So we see this in our data. We know what the biggest types of questions are. One is just to unpack the jargon. So for someone who works in finance, what the term beneficiary means is obvious, and they know how to ask that question. If you don't work in finance, you don't know what a beneficiary is, you might ask it as something along the lines of, what happens if I get hit by a bus? That's the same question, just asked at very different levels of financial literacy. So any kind of jargon complexity, any kind of administrative questions about plan rules, questions about competing financial goals. You know, I've got to send a kid to college, I'll wait till I'm older, got to buy a house, and questions about just sort of the interfaces and processing. You know, how do I do this? How do I do that? And then finally, sort of questions about investing. You know, what's an emerging market? What's a target date? What does it mean to be auto-enrolled? So those are broadly the types of questions we get and we field with our AI.
And the answer is coming back, too, in real time. Is that how it works, Ben?
That's exactly how it works. And so the idea is to really have it be sort of like you're interacting with a human. Now, you know, as questions basically get more complicated, potentially it will help basically source the more complicated questions to us directly. But all of it's real time, and it's like somebody's having a conversation.
What are the legalities of this? I know because this is a space that's highly regulated, lots of rules and regulations. Is there anything different with this? And I'll put this question to you, Grant. What are the challenges in that area?
Yeah, it's a good question. So you're right. There are certain sort of red lines we can't cross. If someone asks us a tax planning question or sort of a complicated financial and investment question, so an easy example of that would be, someone says, you know, I've got to send two kids to college. I'm in a high tax state. I'm in a high tax bracket. Thinking of moving to a lower tax state for a job with more stock options and sending them to private school. What do you think? Kind of thing. That's not something the AI can handle, right? So complex financial planning or any kind of buy, sell, hold advice. So someone asking, should I buy this fund and sell that one? Or I'm thinking of dumping all my shares in emerging markets. Those are the sort of the red lines we don't cross with our chatbot.
I'm imagining doing this because I've recently was on the phone with my 401k provider, and it was a half hour long deal because I had to wait to get somebody, had to go through all of the security questions just to ask some basic questions. That's been what we're trying to avoid here, right?
Exactly right. And you know, the neat thing about this from Grant's group is that it's 24/7. You know, so it's an ongoing thing that's always available. You know, we wish we were 24/7, where we're not right now. I don't think that we probably will be. You know, it'll be a sort of a more of a 9-to-5 thing. But to have this available to people anytime, if you think about, you know, when are you going to ask these questions? It's generally late at night or something like that. You're sitting around, you're thinking about it.
Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat thinking, oh, am I going to eat cat food in my retirement? What? Here's the question from my 401k provider, right?
Right.
Yeah. Grant, you must be very excited about this because I know it's your a dream really coming into creation, coming into workability where everybody's going to be able to see it. You must be watching that cautiously, right?
Yeah, I am. And I'm pretty excited because I think when people read about AI in the media, tend to conjure up pictures of self-driving cars and, you know, human jobs being replaced en masse. And maybe there are certain industries where that will happen. We're a big believer that a lot of white-collar work and service industry jobs will be affected in sort of like this, where the AI becomes more like a first line of defense designed to support the human experts, not replace them. Because no matter what job and industry you work in, there's a lot of routine stuff you do, you have to do for your job, that you don't want to do. And so we're excited about Faircore because they're a really forward-thinking group of advisors. They're thinking about what the future industry looks like and to partner with them and to bring this technology in a way that we picture the world will look like in the decade ahead of us, in the 2020s, that somehow starts in 8 months, is really exciting for us. And we're very excited to have the partner that Faircore is.
Ben, I guess the overriding thing here is you want to make, and this is an issue where people are not saving enough for retirement. They're just not involved in some of these plans. For whatever reason, they don't get involved in this. That's the end goal here, not only to save your company money and save the resources here, but it's to make it easier for people to start saving for their retirement or save better for their retirement.
Absolutely. And, I think that people are tend to be fairly fearful about asking these questions. If they feel like they're behind or something like that, it can be something that's a little bit difficult to sort of get your arms around and sit across the table from somebody and have a real direct conversation. So this is sort of the opening that can be fairly easy for these people to start to really engage with this benefit.
What's the time frame here? When will you get this up and running, and when will we be able to see whether or not you're happy with it?
So I'll kind of open it up to Grant, but the idea is going to be to sort of start rolling this out later this summer and into the fall. We're going to start off with sort of some key clients that will sort of, we think, be best suited to sort of maybe adopt something like this. And our hope is to have it fairly mainstream across the board by the end of the year.
Grant, I'll throw it back to you on that as well. And then you'll be having, I'm guessing, some mileposts where you'll be able to gauge the effectiveness of how it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. We are excited about it. We're going to roll it out. You know, Faircore Partners has a pretty good book of business, so across a lot of plans. So we'll start it with a small sample size to beta test it to make sure we cover any bases their clients might be asking about, and roll it out to everyone by the end of the year. And I really evaluate where it's causing change, what kind of the most common questions are, and then report back on that to Faircore as we grow it with time.
Oh, well, gentlemen, this is very exciting. It feels like we're at the precipice of some future thing here that's pretty cool. I wish you both the best of luck.
Thank you so much for having us.
Grant, thank you.
Thank you. Great to be back. Thanks for having us.
All right. That's Grant Easterbrook, co-founder of Dream Forward, and Ben Olson here this morning, founding partner at Faircore Partners. You can find them online here in Chicago at faircourtpartners.com. Ben, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat to weak opening on Wall Street this morning. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures off each a fraction apiece. Now let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Taking a look at that weekly crop progress report issued yesterday afternoon by the Department of Agriculture. Not much progress. 6% of the nation's corn crop planted. That's half of what we had planted a year ago. And in Illinois and Indiana, only 1%, while Iowa showed 4% of the corn acres planted. Soybeans, well, nationally, 1% of the nation's soybean acres planted, and nothing reported in Illinois, Indiana, or Iowa. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Tuesday, April 23rd. New home sales for March are due. Housing industry analysts see a soft housing market keeping sales down. They're forecasting a 2.5% decline from February's nearly 5% gain. New home sales out midday. Also today, the FHFA House Price Index, the Richmond Fed Manufacturing Index, and the Red Book. Also, earnings today from Twitter, Snap, and Procter & Gamble, among others. Just some of the things that could move the markets on Tuesday, April the 23rd.